are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
Hey, good morning, church. Hey, it is great to be with you. My name is Scott. I am the interim teaching pastor here at the church, and so it is great to be with you. You've joined us in this series where we're talking about foundations. Like, where do we build our life? What is our life standing on? And so to start this morning, we're going to do something a little unique, nothing weird, nothing crazy, but I just need you to kind of go with me for a second. Because here in just a minute, I'm going to ask everybody in the room to close their eyes. There's not going to be anything weird happen. Trust me, we're going to be okay. But I'm going to ask you to just picture something. Because what we're going to do, this little like 1 minute exercise, we're actually building the entire morning on. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You don't have to do it yet, but in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to picture something. And here's what I'm going to ask you to picture. I'm going to have you think through your life. Like if you're 10 years old, it's 10 years. For some of you, that's a lot more. Okay, so let's just leave it at that, right? So regardless of how long you've been here on the planet, I want you to think through. And here's the challenge that I'm going to ask you to picture. I'm going to ask you to picture and think on and visualize in 3D to the best of your ability, to picture a time, a season, an event, a moment in your life where you weren't sure how things were going to turn out. Like you weren't sure. It could have gone one way or the other. And then it ended up, and when you look back, you go, wow. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, you would look back and go, wow, that's where God showed up. Like, I couldn't see how that was going to work out, but God showed up and God intervened. Now, if you're not a Christian, you're still kicking the tires on this whole God thing, you just look back and go, wait, there's a moment, though, you still have those moments where you had a moment where you're like, I'm not sure how this is going to go. And regardless of who you give credit to, when it was all done, you're like, wow, that actually ended up like I'm okay. Like, everything worked out. Okay. So I'm going to talk you through it, but here's what I'm gonna have you do. So again, the whole point of closing your eyes, here's what this does. It's just a chance for us to focus, for you to focus, and then I'm going to have you visualize it to the best of your ability. If you don't close your eyes, you're looking at the lights and the stuff around and all that. So it's really an exercise in focus, which I'm not great at, but maybe this will help you. So, all right. So if you want to, I'm inviting you, close your eyes for just a minute. So here's what I want you to think through. I want you to think through and picture the moment, the season, the event, the opportunity, whatever that was, where you weren't sure how it was going to turn out. And then it turned out in an amazing way, or it turned out different than what you thought and you were okay, where God showed up. So once you identify that moment, I want you to now to just kind of blow it up in your mind. I want you to picture, what were the colors like? What was the house or what was the environment like? What did it smell like? Where was the light coming from? Was it a light fixture? Was it the sun? Were you indoors, outdoors? What did it feel like? Was it warm? Was it cool? Make that moment as real as you can. Okay, you can open your eyes. There's nothing magical about what we just did, but let me just tell you what you built. What you just built, we sang about this morning. Did you catch the little word that we sang about this morning? The word is Ebenezer. Ebenezer. Now, as a kid, I couldn't figure out why we were singing about Scrooge in church. Like, I was like, Ebenezer, like, what is this? And Ebenezer is an Old Testament word that we get, we'll see a lot, where God's people built an Ebenezer. Here I raise my Ebenezer. It generally was a monument or kind of these stacks of rocks that these people built to remember God's goodness, to remember what God had done. And so they would run across them from time to time, or even they would see some that somebody else built and would be a reminder to them that God showed up in somebody else's life. And what you just did in your mind, and in my mind, I did it too, you revisited that, and it was a reminder of your Ebenezer, the time where God showed up to you. This morning, we're looking in this text. We're going to spend time in the Old Testament, the book of Joshua, chapter 1, if you want to go there. If you don't have a Bible, go out these doors. Rick talked about it. Go to the connection space, and they'll get you a Bible. We want to get you taken care of if you don't have one of those. We're going to be in Joshua, chapter 1. The story actually ends with an Ebenezer, where these people build this Ebenezer, this monument to remember what God had done. But before we get there, let's look at the story in Joshua chapter 1, because it starts out not really good. The story starts out actually really, really bad, if I'm being honest. The story starts out like this. Joshua chapter 1 begins with this phrase. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. So welcome to church. Glad that you're here. That's where the story starts, right? Moses in the Old Testament, God's leader, God's chosen leader in the Old Testament, Joshua, the book of Joshua starts with Moses is dead. And God turns to Joshua and begins to speak to Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you, Joshua, and all of these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give them to the Israelites. Pause here for just a second. Let's catch up on history. Moses went up to the mountain. God gave him the Ten Commandments, tells Moses, like, here's all the things that are going to happen. Moses comes down. I'm abbreviating a lot of this. And Moses tells the people, like, let's follow God. And they're like, yeah. And then they don't. And because they turn their back on God, God had said, this land over here is going to be yours. But because you disobeyed me, you get 40 years of wandering. And all of you that are alive now will be dead in those 40 years. And only your kids get to go in. That's what had just happened. And Moses is now dead, and Joshua looks at his Apple Watch and realizes, oh, it's been 39 years and some change. Well, that's about now. Moses is probably going to take us into the promised land now, and Moses dies, and Joshua, next man up. God looks at Joshua and says, you're about ready to go into the land that I promised to give you, the Israelites. He then says in verse 3, I'm going to give you every place where you set your foot, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend, and he gives them the boundaries, will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea to the west, and no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Man, that sounds awesome. But I wonder what was going through Joshua's head. God's like, here's where you're going. Here's where you're going to get to do. And Joshua, you get to do it. But Moses, your leader that you all been following, is now gone. You're it. Have you ever had those moments where you know it's going to be okay, and you're just going, no, okay. Sometimes even God's truth, even God's word, it can land on us, and we still don't believe it. I've been in waiting rooms, and somebody gives me a verse or texts me a verse, or, you know, I open a card and see it, and I'm like, pretty sure this is true, but it's just not sinking in. I'm careful when I go to hospitals because I've been there. I'm careful giving people those because sometimes I'm like, I don't know if this is going to help. I don't know if you're going to receive this. Because even in the middle of our storm, even in the middle of our crisis, it can be hard to believe. Which is why I think God continues to speak. He doesn't just stop there and say, it's going to be all right. Good luck. God continues to give some basic instruction to Joshua. We see it. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, he tells him. I was with Moses, and I'm going to be with you. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. If that's not underlined in your Bible, Go ahead and underline that. I will never leave you. I will not forsake you. And then he tells them, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. I need you to do this. On one hand, just keep track. We're going to see the phrase, be strong and courageous. How many is that so far? That's one. Okay? We're at one so far. Be strong and courageous, he tells Joshua, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. We'll count that one, even though he snuck in very. Be strong and very courageous. And then he gives some instruction. Be careful to obey all of the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left so that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips, he tells them. Meditate on it. Day and night, so you would be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. He's telling Joshua, it's not enough just to say, okay, I'm gonna be all right. He's reminding him, I've left you something. I'm giving you, at that point, he had very little of this, but he was reminding him, I've given you something for you to follow. Follow. Tuck it away, stick it in there, because this is going to be hard. Have I not commanded you, verse 9? And then he tells them, be strong and courageous. That's 3. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Why does he have to tell him 3 times to be strong and courageous? Why does he have to tell him that 3 times? We're what, 10 verses? We're 9 verses in, and he tells him 3 times, be strong and courageous. God knew what Joshua didn't know. God could see Joshua like probably going, okay, I'm in. There's a huge difference. There is a huge difference between clarity and certainty. There's a huge difference between clarity and certainty. Let me put it like this. I can tell you that I've read the text. Oh, yes, God will never leave me, never forsake me. And then I've been in those moments of crisis and tragedy, and I've been scared and I've been frustrated. And I'm like, God, I believe that. I believe that you're never going to leave me. You're never going to forsake me. You're going to help all things work for the good of those who love the Lord. I just need to know how. I'm certain you're going to. But can you offer some clarity on how so I can stand on that too? You know, if you give me the option, clarity or certainty, I choose both. That's what I want. I don't want clarity without certainty, and I don't want certainty without clarity. I want both. But sometimes God doesn't deliver both. Sometimes he just relies upon what he can see because his plans are so much bigger. And so he gives us certainty without the clarity, and he asks us just to trust him, which is what's happening here in the text, because he's telling Joshua, you're going to be okay. By the way, be strong and courageous. It's going to be all right. Be strong and courageous. Joshua, I got your back. I'll never leave you, but I'm going to need you to be strong and courageous, because he didn't have the clarity on how that would happen. But Joshua trusted the Lord. Verse 10, Joshua then goes and he ordered the officers of the people, and he tells them this, go through the camp and I want you to tell everyone, get your provisions ready, because 3 days from now, you are gonna cross the Jordan here and you're gonna go in and you're gonna take possession of the land your God is giving you for your own. Now, there's a couple of things here. Why didn't Joshua go tell people himself? I wonder, it's probably, and scholars would probably argue, it's probably efficiency. There's a whole lot of people. But I'm guessing, if I'm Joshua, I'm like, oh, I'm not telling them. You guys go tell them that we're going to go take over that land right there. A little context. Remember, they'd been roaming around in the desert for 39 and 9/10 of a year, 9/10 years, right? The clock has been ticking, and then God tells Joshua, you're going to go over there. They could see over there. They knew that God was going to deliver them. They were like, even that's awesome, but they didn't know how they were going to get there. Joshua doesn't tell them how. He just says, in 3 days, we're going over. It's interesting. Historically, God had given the promise to his people, his Israelite people. You're going to get the promised land. You get to go in. It'll be yours. You'll get to inhabit it. It's going to be amazing. A land flowing with milk and honey. They were excited, but they had rejected God, which meant they lived, roamed around in the desert for 40 years. So now they can see it. But God had also said to a couple of the tribes, there were 12 tribes, and he had said to a couple of them, you guys are going to live on this side of the river. You, a couple of you are going to live over here, and the rest of you are going to go inhabit this. So I love the text, and we're not going to read all of it. But what happens is a couple of the guys raise their hand. They're like, hey, Joshua, real quick, God gave us this side, so I don't think we're going over there. I think you're supposed to go fight, and you're supposed to take that side, but God promised us this. And I love it. Joshua was like, no, like, here's the plan. Leave your women, your animals, leave you guys. They stay there. Your fighting men come with us. We're going to go over. We're going to conquer the promised land. And then you guys can come back and you can live there so that everybody gets what God promised. You get the land. You get to hang out with your wife and your animals and you stay there. You get your own land. We get this land. God gets what he wants. Everybody wins. And so I love their response. We'll skip to the end of their response in verse 18. Here's what they say to Joshua, because they're in. They bought in. They say to Joshua, well, whoever rebels against your word, Joshua, and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, if they don't do it, we will put them to death. And then I picture them shaking their finger at Joshua and going this, but only you better be strong and courageous, buddy. They quote God's words and they're like, be strong and courageous. And here's my takeaway on that, you guys. People are watching us. If we call ourselves followers of Jesus, people are watching us to see how we're going to react. We can stand here and sing along with Hudson and the crew and go, oh, my fountains are in you and all of that, Lord, I trust you. And then we walk out of here and they watch us everywhere we go, everywhere we live, learn, work, and play. They're watching and they're seeing, do we really believe this? Do we? Because people are watching. And they're like, Joshua, if we're gonna follow you, we're gonna do this. But you better back it up. Joshua, be strong and courageous. Don't let us down. Don't let us down. We're gonna skip chapter 2 on purpose. Chapter 2 in Joshua is its own separate story. It's an amazing story. You need to go home and read it. It's awesome. You can read Joshua chapter 2 and then fast forward to Matthew chapter 1 in the New Testament because they're linked. It's a really cool story, but we're not telling that story today. What I want to do is I want to skip to Joshua chapter 3, which is the next day, which is the story of, it's the kind of the climax of Joshua and the story and how this moment goes down. Joshua chapter 3 starts with this. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites, they set out from Shittim and they went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. So now they head out, they go and they camp right here on the banks of the Jordan. So here they are, they're camping, s'mores right here, like we're hanging out, there's the river, over there is the promised land. And they can see God gave us that land. That's ours. And I wonder how those campfire conversations went, right? They're sitting there, they're watching, they're like, how's this gonna go down? Like, we've been roaming, like we're not really in great shape. Like, we've not been eating really good food. Like, we've not been training. We've just been walking around the desert for, has it been 40 years? Almost 40 years now. Like, how's this gonna go? How do you think this is gonna work? Like, this Joshua guy, Moses, we could follow him. Like, he did the whole, like, the plagues and all of that. He got us through the Red Sea. What? How's this even going to go? I don't know. You guys, what do you think? Should we? I wonder what those campfire conversations were like. Because there they sit. I wonder if even in that moment, their certainty was shaken. Not only is it not clear, now it's like, oh, I'm not even certain. That's like, You guys, I don't know. But after 3 days, the officers then go throughout the camp giving orders to the people. Now they're going to give them very specific directions, right? The officers go throughout the camp giving orders to the people. Here's their order. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and all the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go since you've never been this way before. The Ark of the Covenant. Man, really cool thing. If you've seen Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, it melts people's faces and, you know, the Ark of the Covenant. We see it. It's not a Hollywood prop. It's literally, we see it in the text. The Ark of the Covenant was this big, giant gold box that housed the presence of God. If you've seen illustrations of it, on the top was this lid. They called it the mercy seat. And it usually had blood, remnants of the sacrifices that had been made, the atoning sacrifices for God's people. There was an angel on top with its wings folded in that represented mercy, and another one that pointed in, its wings pointed in, represented grace. It was this huge metaphor of God and his love for his people. It housed the presence of God inside the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. It was this, inside the Ark of the Covenant, there were three things. One, the Ten Commandments that Moses smashed, the tablets are inside the Ark of the Covenant, right, to represent the law. Inside also the Ark of the Covenant was a bowl of manna. That's how God took care of his people. Manna meant, what is it? And people, they made bread cakes out of that manna. So inside there's the tablets, there's these powder to make these bread cakes, and then there was also Aaron's staff. Now, Aaron was Moses' sidekick. He did a lot of stuff with Moses when they went to Pharaoh, and they were like, how are we going to impress him? And God said, Aaron, throw down your staff, throws down a staff, staff turns into a snake. It was that staff that they put inside the Ark of the Covenant. At one point, they line up a bunch of staffs from all of the tribes. Aaron's was the only dead stick that the next morning started to bud. Like, it was his walking stick for years, and then they woke up that morning, this dead stick that had been cut off starts to, like, bud and show flowers and life. Those were the things that were inside the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was the thing that all of Israel, like, when that, like, you couldn't even get in to see it. Only special people could get in. And so when they mention the Ark of the Covenant, they're like, oh, the Ark of the Covenant, that's a part of the story. Maybe that's how this is going to go. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go since you've never been this way before. I love and can't stand this text right here. Then you will know which way to go because you've never been this way before. Because here's what's true. God wants to take us to a place we've never been before. He wants to take us to a new place. And sometimes I like where I'm at. Sometimes I like it right here because I've got certainty and clarity and predictability. I know how this is going to go. But God wants us to go to a place we've never been before. And he tells the Israelite people, when you see God's presence, follow it. So Joshua tells all the people there. He tells the Israelites, here's what I want you guys to do. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things for you. Consecrate. I had to look that up this week. Like, I had to understand, like, what does it mean to consecrate ourselves? There were these ancient rituals that people had to do to cleanse themselves because Jesus hadn't come on the scene yet, so their sins had to be covered another way, and they were unclean and they needed to be clean. And so Joshua was saying, prepare yourself because God's going to do something good. Because when we prepare ourselves, it puts us in position to experience what God wants us to experience. Preparation puts us in position to experience what God wants us to. He had already told them. Moses was given God's word. Don't let these words away from you. Put them on your hearts and your minds and in your guts and think about them. Put them on the doorposts of your house. Prepare, be ready, have that at a moment's notice to be able to draw on. Preparation puts us in position to experience what God wants us to experience. And then Joshua goes on. He says to the priests, I want you guys to take up the Ark of the Covenant and then pass on ahead of the people. And so they took it up and they went ahead of all the people. And here's why. Because God's presence, and you see it throughout the Old Testament in all of these stories, what went first into battle? The Ark of the Covenant. Because God's presence offers protection. When we put ourselves under him and under his presence, he offers protection. Now, notice I didn't say perfection. We get that confused. Oh, well, I put myself under God's presence, then everything's going to work out perfectly. No. I would love it if that were the case. You know how much easier that would make my job as a preacher if that were the case? His presence doesn't offer perfection. It offers protection. Go read Psalm 91. It talks about us resting ourselves under the wings. Whose wings? Jesus on the cross. When we put ourselves under him and under his authority, he offers us protection. Joshua was saying, we're going to follow God's presence. So it's interesting. They march God's presence in front of all the people. And that's probably their Braveheart moment. They're like, oh yeah, like it is on. Like we've got, I don't know what's over there, but now there's confidence building. They're like, wait, we're going with the presence of God. And then the Lord says to Joshua, today, so here's what he says, here's how we're going to do this. Today, I'm going to begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel. They're like, yeah, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Everybody's getting excited. God says, so tell the priest who carry the Ark of the Covenant, the most prized possession of the Israelite people, tell the priest to pick up the Ark of the Covenant. And when you reach the edge of the Jordan water, go stand in the river. And to that I say, what? That's the play? That's the plan? To take a couple thousand pounds of gold box filled with our history? Trusted to some guys to go stand in the river. That's the plan. First off, he's God. I guess he can do whatever he wants. But that's the, are you serious? That's how we're gonna do this. And we've all had moments in our lives where we're going, wait, this is how this is gonna go. This is a big one. God tells them, yeah, yeah, go stand in the river. So Joshua, there's this funny moment I picture. Joshua says to all the Israelites, all right, everybody come here. Listen to the words, and I love how he says this. Listen to the words of the Lord your God, not listen to my words. I didn't make this up. Don't shoot the messenger. Listen to what God told us to do. This is how you'll know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, Jebusites. Nailed it. See all those people? See the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth? It's going to go into the Jordan ahead of you. So now, here's what I want you guys to do. Choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. I would have loved to have seen that rock, paper, scissors contest, right? Like, is it you? Best out of three, right? I'm not carrying the box. You carry the box, right? But you choose 12 of those tribes, 12 guys, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, as soon as they set foot in the Jordan, hang out, everybody, here's what's going to happen. The waters flowing downstream will be cut off and they're going to stand up in a heap. And I picture all those people looking at Joshua and going, what? because now he has certainty and now he has clarity. This is what God said he would do, and this is how he's going to do it. That's a river. Gold is one of the heaviest metals on earth. It doesn't float. Joshua, this is really important. Like this is like this is what has won us battles, and you want us to go put it in the water? Look at those 12 guys. Like they're not that big. Like they can barely swim, let alone with the gold box and all. Like how are you sure? Sometimes what faces us, what stands in front of us, even though God has said, I'm never going to leave you and forsake you, it looks impossible. And we shake our heads and go, what? So what's Joshua to do? What are all the people to do? Here's what happens. The people broke their huddle. They broke camp to cross the River Jordan. The priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they went first. They obey. They do what God told them to do. Oh, by the way, the river was at flood stage. Come on, like seriously, okay. Is God really on the throne? God knew for 40 years what the weather was gonna be like. This is the day he picks. It's flood stage. They're looking at it. They're like, this is, there's more water here than we've seen in years. And we're supposed to step into this. We're supposed to take our most prized possession and step into this. God, do you really know what you're doing? Do you know the rivers that flood? Do you really know? And I picture God up there going, I love it. Perfect timing. Can you just not go, ta-da? Like, can we not do that? Oh, that was so amazing. It was so amazing. Right back up. The river's at flood stage. I pictured this. Seriously, God, do you not know the river's at flood? Like, could you have not planned any better? Like, you've known for a long time. And I pictured God going, I knew it was going to be a flood stage. Because if it's not a flood stage, if it's like, you know, we're in the middle of a drought and that thing's low, then everybody's going to think, well, you know, that you did it. I want to show people that I did it. I don't want them looking at you and talking about you. I want them talking about me. And so here's what they do. The Jordan is at flood stage. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark, they reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away in a town called Adam, which means beginning. And while the water flowing down to the sea, it was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho, which means, by the way, there's another battle ahead. There's another fight to be won. The priest, I love this. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, they stopped in the middle of the Jordan. Can you imagine that conversation? They're holding the box and now they're in the middle of this riverbed. They stopped and they stood there on dry ground while all of Israel, the millions of people, passed by until the whole nation had completely crossed on dry ground. They walked through and the priests are like, this is amazing. I'm like, I can't wait till I like tell everybody about this. This is incredible. And everybody's walking by and there they stand. Here's what's really cool. The text goes on and they're instructed, hey, before you guys leave, everybody grab 12 rocks with you. Or everybody grab a rock. There's 12 of them. Everybody grab a rock. They get to the other side. You know what they do with those rocks on the other side of the river? You know what they build? Come on, y'all. You know what they build? They build an Ebenezer. They put up a little monument. They put up a little reminder of God's goodness and God's faithfulness. The same thing that you built this morning. Because they get to the other side and now they see the city of Jericho and they're like, oh, this is a big city. There's a lot of people. Those guys look big. We need to turn back around. Where do those rocks come from? Bob, those are the rocks from the riverbed. Remember that? Those are the rocks. Those are the rocks where God provided for us, where God made a way, where there was no way. Guys, we can't go back. He did that. He can do that. They didn't build that Ebenezer on that other side, so they get back. They built the Ebenezer to remind them of God's faithfulness, of God's goodness. He did it before. He can do it again. He is faithful. We can count on him. Some of us in this room have been wandering and wandering and wandering for years. And you just needed to be reminded of God's goodness and his faithfulness. And some of us have been wondering for a long time, how is this going to work out? How is this going to work out? And I need to tell you, I don't know. And you don't either. But he does. Jesus is referred to as the bread of life. I think it's significant because inside the Ark of the Covenant that housed the presence of God was a bowl of manna that they used to make bread every day. We don't need manna, we need the bread of life. Inside the Ark of that covenant, inside the Ark of the Covenant was God's law. And when Jesus was being accused, are you really the Messiah? And he said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. And inside there was the staff that represented the priesthood. And Jesus is referred to in the New Testament as the great high priest. And that staff at one point had been dead for a long time and somebody used it to walk around. And one day that staff that had been dead started to bloom new life, the same way Jesus spent 3 days in the grave and was brought back to life. So guess what? He can be trusted. And there are days when it feels like what I'm standing on is granite, a huge granite slab, and I'm like, I'm living my best life. And there's other days it feels like a rock this big, and I'm just trying to get all my weight to stand on that one little rock. And I'm like, God, this foundation, I don't know. But he can be trusted. Let's stand on that. Let's stand on him. Let's build our lives. Let's build our church. Let's build our families on him because he can be trusted. God, I love you. Lord, we want to use this time this morning to hear from you. We've read your word, we've opened it, and now, Lord, speak to our hearts. Speak to us individually. Lord, the same thing we did last week, we just opened our minds and hearts to where is it we need to stand on you. Lord, what is it that we need to shift to you? Lord, thank you for our history collectively and individually, Lord, where you've shown up, Lord, and I pray that you would help us today to reveal where we need to trust you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.